Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. Great to be with you on this October weekend. We are still in the midst, in the throes of October, and suddenly it became cold out there. So we are looking at some colder October weather. I think we got a little bit more warmer weather coming back next week, as I understand anyway. So it's not completely a done deal already. Although, as I said last week on the show, I love October. I think this is great. I love the chocolate, hot chocolate, and the coffee, and the sweater weather, and the fires, and everything. I won't go into that again. It is a time for spending a little bit more time indoors. That is certainly the case. So, what are you doing with your time indoors? Are you caught up, as I admittedly sometimes am, on just doing the internet thing, looking at social media, maybe playing a game or two or something like that. When you're in your spare time, when you're not out doing things, or are you cultivating something that's enriching to your spiritual life? I'd like to think that in my better times anyway, that is something that I am compelled to do out of obedience, as well as a desire to do something that draws me closer to the Lord. Now, that could certainly be things like devotional activities, rosary, Divine Mercy Chaplet, maybe spending some time in the Adoration Chapel, things like that, drawing us closer to the Lord. Those are obviously very important. But just a couple of words here at the top of the hour, talking about developing the life of the mind as well. It's important to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do we love the Lord with our mind? I think a lot of that has to do with cultivating the richness of reason that He has given to us. And you know what, just from my own perspective, this is my own little editorial at the top of the show, it looks as if when I'm going through my social media feed and I'm looking at a lot of the things that people are posting, of course, many of them charged with some sort of political view on one side of the aisle or other, or frequently on both sides, depending on who I'm reading. It looks like there's oftentimes an appeal to sentimentality and to anecdote. That's what I'm seeing a lot of. So sentimentality, just trying to pull at the heartstrings, tug at the heartstrings of the misfortunes of someone, whether they be, I don't need to go into it. All right, so I won't go into it. I don't want to get drawn down that path. Or it's anecdote. It's telling a story from a person's life and then projecting that onto the reality as a whole. Now, sentimentality and anecdote have their place, but unfortunately, I think they play too large of a place in terms of how we think about life, how we go through life. And the great thinkers of our Catholic tradition are unequivocal in stating that one of, if not the thing that God has given us, has gifted us as human beings, is the ability to reason, is an intellect, is rationality. And dare I say it, I think a lot of times in society in general, we tend to squander that, and I'm just as guilty as others in doing that. And I think it's important to take some time during these inside months to cultivate our rationality, our intellectual ability. Now, that may come easy for some and not so easily for others, but that doesn't mean that you need to read the great tomes of St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas and that sort of thing. But nonetheless, it's good to exercise our minds, because our minds are instruments through which we love God just as much as our heart and our soul and our strength. All right, so that's my little encouragement for this morning, as we're talking about here on the Rediscover Hour, a great venue through which to exercise the life of the mind, and that is the Catholic Studies Program at the University of St. Thomas. We're going to be talking with Dr. Michael Naughton, who is the Director of Catholic Studies, as well as Dr. Erica Kidd, who is the Assistant Professor of Catholic Studies and Director of the Graduate Program in Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas, as well as Katie Erickson, who is a graduate and actually going through another new two-course study program for Catholic school educators. And then coming up at the very end of the hour, we are going to have an interview over the phone, of course, with Bishop Robert Barron, who is coming to town to be part of the anniversary celebration that's going on for Catholic Studies later on in December. So we're going to be talking about all of that. There's a lot of things. So if you want to cultivate a little bit of life of the mind here in October, in this cold October weekend, then stay tuned. Stay tuned and listen to this program here, the Rediscover Hour, today as we are talking about Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. Now, as always, we're going to pause here at the beginning of the program and commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Lady, our Blessed Mother. So together let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Going into our first break, when we come back, Dr. Michael Naughton is going to tell us about what Catholic Studies is, and then an interview with alum Katie Erickson, so stay tuned. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial. Competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to The Rediscoverer here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Perrin, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio as we're dedicating the show to the 25th anniversary of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas, is director of that Center for Catholic Studies, Dr. Michael Naughton. It is the oldest and largest Catholic Studies program in the world. Holder of the Coach Endowed Chair in Catholic Studies and professor at the University of St. Thomas, author and serving on boards and that sort of thing. Dr. Naughton, good to have you back on the program. Welcome.
Patrick, it's a great honor.
Well, wonderful. And happy anniversary to Catholic Studies.
It is a, we have a lot to be grateful for, Patrick.
Yeah, 25 years. So I think it'd be fitting, as anniversaries oftentimes are, to look back on the past. Give us a sense of the history of Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this is 25 years old, and you know, at the beginning of the hour, Patrick, you had a nice way of contextualizing this, and St. Paul speaks about the idea of the renewing of the mind, and every institution needs to be renewed. One of the great things about the Catholic tradition, it is always a church in reform, and particularly in reform of its institutions. But this is true for all institutions, for many of us who are married. I've been going up into my 30th year of marriage, and we know that as you go through marriage, you always need to renew it. Businesses, I do a lot of work with businesses, and they need to renew their mission if they're going to keep in touch with that. And the university is no different. And 25 years ago, we were in the mind of that something was going on at the university that needed renewal. And usually it's often related to its great strengths, because often the great strength of a place is often its great weakness. Mm. And the great strength of a university is the specialization. But it's also a great weakness, because what happens is knowledge gets kind of drilled down. And as people drill down, they get disconnected to other forms of knowledge. And one of the major principles of Catholic education is the unity of knowledge. Mm. And so The founder of Catholic Studies, a man named Don Brill, an unusual, gifted visionary, brought together several faculty from various different disciplines, theology and philosophy and law and business and literature and history and economics. And the question for us was, how do these things relate to each other in terms of the unity of knowledge? And at the very same time, this was in 1991, 92, as we were starting to discuss these things. In 1990, John Paul II wrote a document called Ex Corde Ecclesiae, mm-hmm. out of the heart of the church. Because what many people often don't realize is that the whole university system came out of the church. The first university was the University of Bologna in the Western tradition in 1088. And it came out of the church. And then Paris and Cambridge and Oxford, these were all Catholic universities. Because they were looking at this idea of the unity of knowledge about how things are related to each other. So that whole idea was an attempt to renew it. And from there, as we faculty got together, we started offering courses. The thing took off like wildfire. It actually went beyond our expectations.
Wow.
Right now we have about 250 students involved in Catholic Studies, majoring and minoring in that program. And it's been a great grace to be a part of that project.
And as I understand it, Catholic Studies is, as you just said, all about that unity of knowledge. And so there is, well, at least the expectation, right, at least at the undergraduate level, that it's not just a Catholic Studies major, but it's that alongside something else for,
exactly.
for unity? Yeah.
We never saw ourselves as simply a standalone major. So what we always encourage for students to be doing is either double majoring or minoring in Catholic Studies. It's an attempt to integrate knowledge. So, for example, we've had about 1,200 alum from Catholic Studies. Over 150 are priests, over 45 are religious, and about 60 to 65% of our students, lay students, are students who go into all professions, in medicine, in business, in engineering, in media. And so the point there is, how does the incarnation animate all of these areas?
Right.
So this is not a pseudo, you know, shadow theology program.
Right.
This is a deeply interdisciplinary program that's dealing with politics and law and business and engineering and seeing what is the relationship of faith in its relationship to these particular disciplines.
Mm. And as you already mentioned, the Catholic Church has a wonderful tradition, not just in education, but in these different disciplines as well, as being heavily influential over the course of the centuries, the millennia that the Church has been around.
Exactly. The Church, again, people always have to, sometimes people have very small views of the Church. I'll give you one quick example.
Please, yeah.
So for 20 of my years at St. Thomas, I had a joint appointment in the business school and in Catholic Studies. And we were constantly trying to bridge that type of area. And so several years ago, we collaborated with the Vatican, and we produced a document called The Vocation of the Business Leader. And so what is the vocation of this institution that we call business, which is having such massive influence within our culture? And it's not just simply about profits or productivity or efficiencies. It's a fundamentally human activity. And when a Catholic goes into that particular type of work, they need to be asking, this is not just a job or a career, this is a vocation. What type of influence am I having on my products and services? What type of influence am I having on my colleagues? What type of culture am I creating within this in this institution?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't come automatically. Matter of fact, if anything, if you don't attend to it, you'll default to the mere material. You have to come to it with a sense of principle, a sense of vision. And the question is, where does that happen? Well, what universities do is they introduce people into those professions. And what Catholic Studies is concerned about is introducing the fullness of this intellectual tradition, the social tradition, the moral tradition, the spiritual tradition, as it relates to all these professions and all these activities.
Right. And what a wonderful mission it is. 25 years you've been at it now at the University of St. Thomas, here in St. Paul. Talking a little bit about the offerings that Catholic Studies there at the University of St. Thomas. So as we already spoke of, there's major and minor at the undergraduate level, But there's also a CSMA, a Master of Arts in Catholic Studies as well, which Dr. Kidd is going to be speaking about a little bit later in the program.
Yeah, no, this has been a wonderful experience. Again, it was one of those things that kind of organically grew. You know, we started with some courses. Students started to come to it. They started to be interested in. We thought we'd just get some minors, and they turned out to be a major. And then once we got the minor and major going, we started offering this graduate program. And again, Dr. Kidd, who's directing it, will have an opportunity to talk more about it. But let me tell you one thing about this program that we just developed. One of the things that has become clear, particularly in the graduate program, we have many different audiences that come to us. We have moms, we have professionals, we have, you know, Dominicans from, you know, Ann Arbor and down in, I'm losing it there, where
Nashville.
Nashville, thank you. And one of the things that they are, many of them, not all of them, but some of them are educators. So we developed a two-course study for educators. And here's the fundamental principle behind it. All Catholic, like I was saying, like for University of St. Thomas, but all Catholic educational institutions need to renew themselves. Mm-hmm. And what teachers and administrators need to always be asking themselves is, on whose shoulders do I stand upon? Mm-hmm. And in the Catholic tradition, we have a 2,000-year tradition of education. It's where universities have come out of. We are people who, in a sense, invest heavily in education. But we have to understand what shoulders we stand on in order to understand our role within education. Because if we don't understand this kind of longer tradition, we actually have a hard time understanding, well, what is my role in it today? So the two-course study, one is on the history of Western education, where we go from Plato to today, talking about the fundamental principles of education as we go through that. And the other one is on contemporary challenges of pre-K to 12 education. Because we know education is going through a lot of turmoil, a lot of changes, and we know that a lot of the things that are going on in education are at in tension or in contradiction to the way a Catholic might look at it. So we need to be aware of it. We need to tool people up and to form them in that particular vision.
And that's what this two-course study for Catholic school educators is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, joining us on the phone, we have Katie Erickson, who's a fifth-grade teacher at St. Agnes from 2014 to the present. And she is both a Catholic Studies alum, double majored there, Catholic Studies being one of them. And then she is also participating in this two-course study. Katie, good morning.
Good morning, Patrick.
Good to hear you. Thank you for being on the Rediscover Hour. So, Katie, I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit, just reflect a little bit about your time, because you were, as I understand it, right, a double major in elementary education and Catholic studies at the University of St. Thomas. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. I was fortunate to spend 4 years studying at the University of St. Thomas. I double majored in Catholic studies and in elementary education. And certainly the Catholic Studies program, the courses I took there, the opportunity to study abroad in Rome at our Rome campus transformed me as a person and certainly as an educator.
Well, go into that a little bit more, Katie. If it transformed you so deeply, what was it about the offerings of Catholic Studies that was so, transfigurational?
Well, when we talk about education, education is always an initiation into something, into a worldview. And good education, true education, is then an initiation into truth in all its many and varied facets. And as Dr. Naughton spoke about, Catholic Studies is about studying the effects of the Incarnation on all areas of thought and culture. And it's not simply a theology program, but we study literature, we study art, history, philosophy, contemporary challenges in the world around us. Through the Catholic Studies, that initiates one into a sacramental worldview. So seeing the world with richness, with meaning through the eyes of Christ. Another key aspect of the Catholic Studies program is the community and the faith formation. So the life of the church, praying the Liturgy of the Hours, certainly having Mass, the sacraments available to us in Sitzman Hall there, and cultivating relationships not only with professors who are holy men and women who are pursuing Christ, but with classmates who are also running towards the same goal. And those friendships and the conversations had in the classroom and outside the classroom are invaluable and still are a gift to me today.
Wonderful. I was going to ask you about the community piece, so thanks for touching on that. But tell us a little bit more about the Rome campus and your experience in Rome.
Yes. So I was able to study at our Bernardi campus in Rome, spring 2012. And the University of St. Thomas has a house, a campus, right there in Rome on the Tiber. And we take classes at the Angelicum, the Pontifical University in Rome. And that experience of being in a foreign country with 34 people who you're kind of stuck there with them. They're the only people you know, the only people who speak English. But also the reality of living with in community where you're studying all the same classes, you have the same common life of prayer. We have a chapel, again, in that house on that campus. And it's you can't help but be grow in friendship and relationship with those people when you're spending that much time and when you're doing something that's so meaningful and important.
I can imagine, yeah. Well, it sounds like a tremendous opportunity.
It
Katie,
is.
Katie, great to hear your voice, and great to have you here.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Nunn.
But I spent four different semesters in Rome with these students, and one of the wonderful experiences of being in Rome with these 30, 35 students is that you really do create a community where faculty and students are together. Mm. And one of the great things that happens in Rome is that friendships, as Katie mentions, talked about it, but it's also friendships with faculty. And it's been a wonderful experience. My wife and I have been over there four times, said it's the easiest time to parent when we're in Rome because we got these 30, 35 kids who are basically adopted brothers and sisters to our kids.
Nice.
And they live a life. You know, we have a chapel there. They have a lot of fun. There's a lot of activities. You know, we have ultimate frisbee contest, but we're also going down to St. Peter's to a papal audience and papal masses and things of that sort. And it's just an organic kind of connection. But that kind of community in Rome is lifelong. I go to a lot of weddings of my students, and many of them come out of Rome. Mm. So Rome is an extraordinary kind of, we often see it as a kind of a key synthesizing experience of the Catholic Studies program.
Now, is it an option or for any Catholic Studies student?
Yes, for minors and majors, most of them take it. Some, obviously, there's kind of issues that come up, particularly sure. for some of our majors, particularly engineering majors, but even they, many of them will go on to it as well.
Okay, wonderful. Now, Katie, Dr. Naughton was talking a little bit about this two-course study for Catholic school educators, and you are participating. This is brand spanking new, right? So, and you are participating in it, right?
Yes, I'm in the first cohort. Excited to be a part of this.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that. What are you doing? What are you learning?
Well, I'm currently enrolled in Dr. Naughton's course, The History of Western Education.
Should we have a pop quiz right here and now?
There you go.
All right. No, go right ahead, Katie.
This course is a history course, and I was so excited to take this course, particularly through the Catholic Studies program, because as educators, we stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us, and that doesn't just mean within the school building we work in and, you know, in the recent decades, but as Dr. Naughton said, we start with the Greeks. We start back with Plato, this intellectual tradition that I, as an educator, and anyone as a student, is a part of, is a rich history that we should know and treasure and be able to learn from. And I think it's so key. Dr. Naughton used the phrase again of renewing one's mind. And as an educator, to take that time to renew your mind, to renew your heart, is so important for what I do in the classroom.
And are you hoping that continues, I would imagine, throughout the two-course study? And how do you think it will influence what you do in the classroom and your students that you're teaching there at St. Agnes?
Well, educators should be the most educated people in society, right? Teachers are the ones who are witnessing to truth, witnessing to Christ. And so it's our duty as educators to make sure that we ourselves are furthering our own intellectual and spiritual growth so that we can pass that on to our students. And so that comes in our course. We certainly have papers, we have readings, we have discussions and seminars, but there's also, again, those components of prayer life and community life that we as humans are not just here for the intellectual side of it, but also for the spiritual side. So we pray together, we have mass together, we have meals together, and that's so key for me as a teacher to form my own heart and mind, to renew my own heart and mind, to be able to then stand up in front of my students each day and witness to that truth and call them on to the good, the true, and the beautiful each day.
Right. I'm getting a lot of that sense of integration of both our what we tend to disintegrate our spiritual life from the rest of our life. But that's to our own peril, as Dr. Naughton referred to earlier, that when we take ourselves out of that spiritual component for anything that we do in life, we end up going down pretty treacherous paths. Well, Katie, I'm glad to hear that it's already having a wonderful influence on you and therefore on your students there at St. Agnes. Just give us, before you go, give us one thing that we can pray for you and your students at St. Agnes.
Oh, goodness. I think that I and my students certainly would be open to seeing Christ in those around us, in the text that we read, in the world that we encounter, that we would be open to seeing Christ and that we would desire to see him in all that we encounter in his creation.
Wonderful. We will pray for that. Thank you, Katie, for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. I know you got to get back into the classroom. God bless you and all the work that you do.
Thanks, Patrick.
Yep. God bless. So, Dr. Naughton, just back to you to reflect a little bit more on that. Is Katie and the others in the first cohort, is that more or less what she was saying, what your intention is with this two-course study?
Yeah, it's wonderful, by the way. It's a two-course study that's actually online.
And,
and what we do is it's an online blended system. And so we do much of it online, and then we come together for three times through the semester, two of them which are rather intense 2 days, kind of almost residentials. We have some people from California. We have a president of a school system in Wisconsin. We have people from around the different areas, and we have people who are local. And the experience of getting people who are thinking about going in education, people who are teaching, people who are doing administration, is that in those times together, there's a kind of community that begins to develop of a common vocation. Mm-hmm. Because it really at the heart of this, Patrick, is what is the vocation of the educator? And what are the implications of that as I teach, as I'm doing administration, as I'm leading these particular institutions? And that needs to be constantly renewed. Mm. Because one of the dangers of the teacher is they become static. Same old, same old. And it's just like, okay, here we go again, here we go again. And they get into ruts, and they get into a kind of default system. And this whole idea of renewing the mind, as St. Paul says, renewing the institution, and that takes a community in which to do it. And as Katie mentioned, it takes kind of some energy in terms of the educational investment mm-hmm. of going back to looking at some of these texts that I haven't quite seen, or if I had read them years ago, what are they looking like today? And doing that within community has a way of renewing one's vocation in this particular work.
I think that's great. I'm not a Catholic educator, but I want to sign up. So you've hooked me in, although maybe the MA program would be more appropriate to me. Speaking of which, Dr. Erica Kidd is in studio with us as well, again, assistant professor of Catholic Studies and director of the graduate program in Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas, a student of philosophy, Latin, great texts at Baylor, and then received her PhD in philosophy from Villanova University and writing currently on Augustine and the Augustinian tradition. Dr. Kidd, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having us, Patrick.
It's great to have you. Yeah, yeah. As we're talking here about the 25th anniversary of the Catholic Studies Center there at the University of St. Thomas. All right, so we've talked a little bit about the undergraduate experience of Catholic Studies, both the major and the minor. We've talked with Katie and Dr. Naughton about this two-course study for Catholic educators. But there's a master's program as well. Kick us off. Tell us a little bit about what's involved in the CSMA.
Yeah, absolutely. So the master's program and the undergraduate program share this commitment to interdisciplinary Christ-centered education. And in both of those programs, the graduate and the undergraduate, we're trying to look back into a 2,000-year tradition, our 2,000-year Catholic tradition, and try to see and understand and grasp the wisdom that's there and bring that wisdom into our lives today. So you were talking at the beginning about intellectual formation, and we share that concern, but we share it not just as a kind of ivory tower exercise. We care about that intellectual work because we see what a huge impact it's had on our lives, and we see what a huge impact it has on the lives of our students and on the families that that our students go on to have. So in terms of what's involved concretely for the CSMA degree, for the master's degree. All students take 10 courses. There are two required courses at the beginning, Catholic Thought and Culture 1 and 2, and those are just a deep dive into the Western tradition, sort of giving our graduate students some orientation that they may not have had before. And then students have some area requirements that they need to fulfill, and then they take a few electives. Then they conclude their degree with a master's essay, and that's an opportunity for them to do some interdisciplinary writing about a topic that's of interest to them. Mm. The master's essay presentation evening is so much fun People are just, they come up with so many different things. Last time we had one person writing about La Sagrada Familia in Spain. We had one person writing about research, ethical issues related to embryonic stem cells. We had another person writing about Dante, so C.S. Lewis. It's just always a mix because people pursue their research interests with a faculty member. So that's sort of the sweep of the program, those 10 courses, the seminar-style courses, and then the master's essay at the end.
Yeah, I think this is the program we need to sign up for because I want to do a paper on the Catholic tradition and radio.
Okay.
You'd be all right.
You should
with that.
Apply.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right.
We'll review your application.
Very good. Is this a residential program? Do people have to be local there on campus? It's on-site courses?
Yeah. So, no. One thing that we've really tried to do with Catholic Studies, the master's program, is think about how to make it accessible to a lot of different kinds of audiences. So, we have some audiences who come only in the summer, especially we've had some Dominicans, some handmaids who come just in the summer. So they're in residence for 6 weeks in the summer and taking just summer courses and slowly completing their degree that way. We also have some students who are full-time students. They're living in St. Paul, taking three courses at a time. We have another set of students, a lot of our students who are working professionals, And they're just taking one course at a time, and they're roughly in the Twin Cities area. But then we also have this new group of students that we're really excited about, students who are doing our online master's program. Mm. And what's great is those courses, they don't have to be in residence. Some of the courses are fully online. They never have to set foot on St. Thomas campus. We have one guy who's in South Africa right now, so he's not going to be in St. Paul anytime soon. And that's great because he's able to do the work that he's doing and also get this really great education in the Catholic tradition. And then we have some blended courses where people might be, as Dr. Naughton said, say in California or somewhere else, but they come in just for a short period of time. All of those courses make up one unified MA degree program. And so people can do what works for them. They could start in person, and then if they move away due to marriage or a job, they could finish online. Some teachers want to take online courses during the school year, but then come do those intensive in-person courses in the summer. So the watchword really is flexibility. You know, as we're thinking about going forward into the next 25 years in Catholic Studies, we're really trying to figure out how to make this education available to the next generation of students.
That's very forward thinking of you. I mean, it's a good thing, and especially if you've already got students as far away as South Africa and somewhere
right.
like that. So a couple kind of follow-up questions to that. It sounds like there's a diversity of people who would choose to take this. Why would somebody choose to take? What are the right reasons for choosing to apply for the CSMA? And what kind of people do?
Yeah. The right reasons. So people come with a lot of different reasons. But if I were going to summarize them, I would say this. People come because they want a deeper understanding of their faith. Often people are very committed to their faith, but they know that our tradition offers them so much more than what they understand at this point or what they've had access to at this point. And they understand, you know, they're people who don't have a progressive view of history, who don't think, you know, that's just dusty old books from the past that we don't need anymore. They're people who understand that there's really wisdom in that tradition and wisdom that will transform their lives and transform the lives of their families. Sometimes people come to us for career-related reasons. You know, they're thinking they're maybe a director of religious education, or they're a teacher, or so sometimes there's that really obvious connection with their profession. Sometimes there's a less obvious connection. We have a number of people coming to us from the tech industry right now. I'm thinking about who was sitting around the table at my last seminar on Augustine's Confessions, and it's an accountant, a veterinarian, teachers, moms, lots of different kinds of people, but they all come looking for that deep dive into 2,000 years of Catholic thought and culture, and they all come with a kind of existential concern. And what I mean by that is they all come looking to understand how this material can shape how they live.
Wow. That's a deep... I mean, that's a tall order, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But CSMA, if anybody can deliver, I would guess Catholic Studies can, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's humbling as a teacher, but Augustine tells us that we as teachers don't come to bring our own wisdom. We don't bring our own opinions. What we offer is a pointing to the truth. We offer students these great texts and all this wisdom, and we encourage them on their journey towards a deeper love of Christ and a deeper understanding of their faith.
Right. Are you ever too old to partake in the CSMA?
No, you're not.
Okay. All right. So you're accepting, middle-aged guys like me and even on up from there.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Definitely older than you. Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. Good to hear.
And that really enriches the conversation. You know, we have some younger people, some older people. It's great that everyone is from all these different walks of life, all these different backgrounds. And you might think, how does that hang together? But it hangs together because everyone has that same core set of concerns, mm-hmm. understanding their faith.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous goal, tremendous sights set on I think really what the Lord would intend, that we again integrate our faith into each and everything that we do and understand the core foundational pieces that our faith has offered to not just ourselves but also to the building blocks of society. Dr. Kidd, just I'll ask you a similar question that I asked Katie before we need to let you go, which is something that we can pray for Catholic Studies and particularly the master's program there at Catholic Studies.
Yeah, I would ask, it's funny, when Katie said what she said, I was thinking exactly the same thing. What I have been talking with my students about, what I was talking with my undergraduates about just yesterday, was about learning to hear God's voice everywhere that it's presented to you. The specific example yesterday was, Augustine says in his Confessions, "Oh God," he prays, "Oh God, you were speaking to me through my mother, but I thought it was just her voice. I didn't realize it was your voice." Mm-hmm. And so I was joking with my students, like, you know, sometimes God is speaking to you through your mother's voice. My prayer is that we will hear God wherever he's speaking and that we will see Christ wherever he's present.
Well, amen to that. Dr. Erica Kidd, thank you for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. Great to have you, and God bless all the work that you're doing there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dr. Naughton, back to you just for a couple of things here before we go to break. So it is the 25th anniversary, and you have an anniversary celebration coming up on December 8th, which should be easy for us Catholics to remember, as that is the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, Patroness of America. And tell us a little bit more about what's going to be happening at that celebration.
Yeah, we'll be beginning with Mass at 4:30, and Bishop Barron will be the homilist, and Archbishop Hebda will be the main celebrant. And then we'll be moving over into Anderson Center, and we'll be having a reception and dinner. Bishop Barron will be receiving an honorary doctorate.
Nice.
And also be giving a major address there. We also have the Truth and Life Award, and Gene Sitzman, who's been a very important donor, and his family will be receiving that. And then we'll be having certainly some, like all these types of celebrations, some videos showing some of the work that we're doing.
Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to it.
It sounds like quite the evening as well, and an opportunity to get to see and hear Bishop Barron in person, as he's kind of a celebrity.
But he's a longtime friend. He's been coming to Catholic Studies for many years, and so we're very honored that he'll be there.
Right, excellent. And he's going to appear on the program next here after we take our next break. But I would be remiss if I did not mention, how do you find out more? How do you find out more about this, the 25th anniversary celebration? How do you find out more about Catholic Studies, both the undergraduate, the graduate, and the two-course study program?
So, quick telephone number, 651-962-5700. And that will get you right to Catholic Studies. If you went on the St. Thomas website, you know, stthomas.edu, and just put in the search engine there, Catholic Studies, all that information will come right up.
Wow. Okay. So stthomas.edu, search for Catholic Studies, or 651-962-5700. Dr. Michael Naughton, Director of Catholic Studies, thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour again.
Patrick, great joy. Thank you.
Yes, wonderful. We're going to go into our final break. When we come back, we have got... Oh, I'm sorry. It's not our final break. It's our second break. We've got Bishop Robert Barron coming up right after this. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life, it might be vocations, it might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
We are your people. We are your children, oh God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with our producer, Susanna Parent, our technical producer, Paul Sonnet, coming to you from the Golden Valley Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And now there is somebody on the line with me who I'm guessing many of you are familiar with. It is Bishop Robert Barron, who is the Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles and the founder of Word on Fire, which uses media to explain Catholicism to the wider world. Perhaps many of you are familiar with his video series, which include Catholicism, The Mystery of God, Pivotal Players, and most recently, The Mass, as well as his online references to homilies, articles, podcasts, online videos, and a whole mess of things. Your Excellency, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Patrick, good to be on with you. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, it's so great to have you on the program. And I just want to start out by asking you, what's going on at Word on Fire these days?
Oh, lots of going on. We just got back from a two-week film trip, so we're doing this Pivotal Players series, and it's unrolling a little slower than we expected because I was named a bishop, and so that kind of interrupted our filming. So we can do about two every summer now. So we just got back from a film trip for Fulton Sheen and Flannery O'Connor.
Wonderful.
And that was a delight. And then, as you mentioned, the Mass video just came out. Mm. And that's based on a series of lectures I gave last October here in Santa Barbara. And they were filmed by the great Spirit Juice studio in Chicago. And they brought out a really beautiful edition of that. So that's been doing very well. So we've always got something cooking at Word on Fire.
That's great. And it's wordonfire.org, I believe.
That's right. You can find whatever you want there. And you say a lot of good things. And it's because of the team I have that's been assembled now over the years are just terrific. You know, mostly young people and very much filled with the spirit of the new evangelization.
That's great. So speaking of that and speaking of the new evangelization and everything, just wondering if you can go into, I know you've spoken before on the importance of engaging the culture, specifically when it comes to the three transcendentals, specifically with beauty. And I'm wondering if you can just give a little bit, fill out that explanation for us.
Yeah, you know, the true, the good, and the beautiful, the three great transcendentals, which is just a fancy way of saying wherever you find existence, you'll find these three things. And my intuition for a long time has been that in our postmodern time, our current cultural situation, beginning with the true is often a non-starter because people have a very relativistic sense of the truth, right? Your truth and my truth, and who are you to tell me what to believe? And then even more so, I would argue, with the good. If you start telling people, here's how you ought to behave, or here's the good life, the reaction typically today is, well, who are you to tell me what the good life is, you know? So I found that maybe the best starting point is the third transcendental, the beautiful, because it's less threatening. And I think people tend to be a bit less relativistic about it. You say, look at that. You see how beautiful that is. Whether it's, you know, it's the Sistine ceiling, it's the Sainte Chapelle, it's it's the work of Mother Teresa's sisters. I mean, just look at that. And you're not imposing something on them. You're not telling them what to think or how to behave. You're just saying, look. And so I've often used that as a starting point. Now, mind you, the beautiful leads to the good and the true. So we're not bracketing them or saying they're unimportant. If you start with the beautiful, you'll be led to the good and the true. But I think it's a more winsome starting point today.
Yeah, and to me that makes a lot of sense in terms of the, especially kind of the individualistic nature of our society, and everybody's deciding what's right for their own lives. But yet, I would say it's harder to deny true expressions of beauty. Is that the case?
Yeah, I think so. And again, it's less threatening. You just say, "Look at that," and allow someone to be drawn into the beautiful, whether it's a great work of art, like a novel, or we just, you know, as I say, finished filming on Flannery O'Connor, begin with one of her stories, which aren't explicitly religious typically at all. They don't involve religious characters. They don't involve priests and nuns and monasteries and churches, but they're deeply religious once you are drawn into their power. Or begin with a great work of visual beauty. I think that's just more attractive. And Catholicism, you know, that's one of our calling cards, is that we're a beautiful religion. I remember years ago, one of Woody Allen's old movies, Hannah and Her Sisters, if you remember, at one point Woody's character is thinking about religion. So he comes to the priest, and the priest says, well, why do you want to be a Catholic? And he says, well, first of all, it's such a beautiful religion. And I've always felt that's right. He doesn't, in fact, become a Catholic in the movie, but I think that's a right intuition. It's a very beautiful religion. We didn't move into an iconoclastic attitude. And we can still use the beauty of the church to draw people in.
Yeah, now I've spent some time working at the Cathedral of St. Paul, which I know you gave some accolades to in one of your books.
Yeah.
And we see it all the time, Bishop. I mean, we have people coming into the RCIA program specifically because it's such a beautiful building. It draws them in.
For my money, the most beautiful Catholic church in America.
Oh.
St. Paul Cathedral.
Wow.
I said that.
You did.
I hear it here. I first saw it, well, many years ago. I was invited to give a talk in St. Paul, and I was so struck by it. I was struck by, you know, its symmetry, its harmony, but also the kind of compact quality of it. Even though it's a massive building, it seems very coherent architecturally, you know? And then whenever I've gone back, one time I remember staying at the residence there and looking out the window of my guest room, I could see the cathedral in all its splendor. And I remember staying for like an hour in prayer, just looking at it. And then one time I gave a talk in the cathedral and was just so struck by the interior is as gorgeous as the exterior. So, yes, that's got enormous evangelical power. And as I remember, it hovers over the whole city. It's higher even than the government buildings.
That's correct, yeah.
And so it's redolent there of the Middle Ages when people, I think, had a healthier cultural sense because they always made the church building central and highest, right?
Right.
Now in most of our cities, it's the opposite. The church building is just dwarfed, you know. In fact, just recently I was back in my hometown of Chicago, and, you know, Holy Name Cathedral, which is a charming building, but it looks like a child's toy now because it's just dwarfed by the buildings around it. You know, we highlight in our cities the great commercial centers. Right? The highest buildings there are in Chicago, you know, the John Hancock building and the Willis Tower, you know, the Aon building. And then probably next are the government buildings. And then third are the church buildings.
Right.
It's just the opposite of what it was in, the Middle Ages. So I love that in St. Paul, that the church building is the one that's on the highest ground.
Yep. And that was Archbishop Ireland's intent. And
yeah.
We also have here in St. Paul, we have the largest Catholic studies program in the country at the University of St. Thomas. And we've been talking about Catholic studies throughout the show today. And they have a 25th anniversary celebration in December that you're actually coming to speak at. And I was wondering if you could just give a few words to specifically what you see as the role of Catholic studies in proclaiming the gospel to the world today.
Super. In fact, I'm talking on the phone, I'm sitting in my office in Santa Barbara, and I'm looking right now at the mass card for the great Don Briel, who founded the program there and died, just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I've been connected to that place since then and had great admiration for Don. I think he intuited a lot of things we've been talking about. And at a time when Catholics were losing confidence in their own intellectual tradition, he felt it was the moment to revive that tradition and to recover a confidence in it. We were often bullied by a sort of aggressive secularism. Well, that's only increased, I mean, in the last 25 years. We now have a very aggressive secularist ideology that's in place in most of our university settings. And, you know, sad to say, in even many of our Catholic universities, people are much more beholden to the secularist, politically correct ideology than to Catholicism. So it was a stroke of genius on Don's part to say, no, let's say within a Catholic university, let's revive specifically Catholic studies. He knew there was a frame of mind and a perspective that was uniquely Catholic. And now we could say a lot about that, you know, what that is, but it's a very distinctive take on the world. It's when it's lost, it is to the detriment not only of the church, but of the wider society. And I think Don intuited that, and it was his great signal contribution to the church that those Catholic studies programs began to spread around the country. So I'd say it's more of a need today than it was even when Don founded it, you know, 25 years ago. It's more of a need today because of what we're up against culturally.
Wow, yeah. And certainly as we are called to live our faith, and, you know, it's part of our baptismal calling to be out in the world and to carry the presence of Christ out that way in all levels of society.
See, that's very important because, you know, in the era now of Pope Francis, when there's a lot of talk about going to the margins, and I totally subscribe to that. But people forget that when Francis first used that term, and it was during the talk at the general congregations before the conclave, that's what got people's attention. But he specifically mentioned in that talk the existential margins. So he doesn't just mean those who are economically and politically marginalized. He does indeed mean that. And that's what the press puts a great stress on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Pope also meant those who were alienated from God, those who have lost the sense of the transcendent, those who are caught in this sort of narrow space of modern secularism. And he said, we got to go to those margins too. And he's dead right about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been interested in, of course, in a lot of my work, is reaching out to the nuns, so-called, right?
Mm-hmm.
The N-O-N-E-S,
right.
This army of people now in our country who claim no religion, and their numbers are huge among the young. So I think that's part of the Pope Francis revolution, and it was anticipated by people like Don Briel a long time ago.
Yes, yeah, right. And it seems to me that even so, in integrating a Catholic mindset to any field in which these students might be studying, would be to bring it to its fullest potential.
Absolutely. Well, let's go back to St. Bonaventure in the Middle Ages. You know, Christ, the center of the university. And he meant that all the disciplines, whether it's mathematics or science or whatever it was, law, they all have Christ as their center because he's the Logos. See, if Christ is just one, you know, religious teacher among many, which is what secularism wants to turn him into, then who cares? You know, read Sufi mystics, read the Buddhist monks, read the Hasidic masters, and read Jesus. They're all interesting spiritual teachers. But see, if he's the Logos made flesh, which is the great claim of Orthodox Christianity, then he has to do with all the logoi of the culture, whether that's science or math or history or literature. He's the center of all those things. Now, not aggressively, but he's meant to draw all those disciplines, as it were, to himself. That's the instinct behind a Catholic studies.
Bishop Robert, too much of your time, so thank you so much for being on the show. And I was wondering, just before you go, if you can give us your blessing, please.
Oh, I'd be very happy to. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come down upon all those who are listening to this program and remain forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Bishop Robert Barron, thank you again for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
My pleasure.
We are going to be back right after this, but we're going to have a list of things to help you draw closer to Christ, so stay with us.
Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial. Competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul.
What?
You're recently back from the West Coast. Welcome back.
West Coast, East Coast.
Here, oh, yeah,
there,
that's right.
And everywhere.
All right. Wonderful. Well, they got stuff going on there. We got stuff going on here.
Tons of things. Those who have experienced the death of a baby before or after birth are warmly invited to attend the 15th annual Mass of God's Children, 7 p.m. Monday, October 15th, Nativity of Our Lord Catholic Church in St. Paul. Mass is sponsored by the Nativity of Our Lord Parish and Nativity Council of Catholic Women. Find out more, call 651-238-1377.
Men learn the basics of Bible in one day at the Catholic Watchman Men's Bible Boot Camp with Jeff Cavins on Saturday, October 20th from 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Risen Savior Church in Burnsville. Discover the heroic men of the Bible, find out how to make Scripture a part of your daily life, and learn how to lead your family in reading the Bible along with you. Registration is $40. It includes workbook, donuts, and a hearty lunch. The event is free for sons age 18 and under. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org or contact Men's Evangelization Manager Enzo Rendazzo at rendazzov@archspm.org.
Healthcare workers, along with their spouses and families, are invited to the annual White Mass for Healthcare Workers, Saturday, October 20th, Cathedral of St. Paul. Archbishop Bernard Hebda will be the celebrant in honor of St. Luke, patron of healthcare workers. Reception follows immediately after Mass in Hayden Hall. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
You are invited to the Archdiocesan celebration for the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae on Monday, October 22nd at the University of St. Thomas. The theme is Contraception, Why Not? Rethinking Humanae Vitae in 2018. Discover what Blessed Pope Paul VI actually spoke of in his encyclical Humanae Vitae, which reaffirmed the teaching of the Catholic Church on married love, conscientious parenthood, and the use of artificial contraception. Daytime and evening sessions are offered. To register and for more information, please visit the events page on archspm.org.
Grandparents, you're invited to the Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne, Tuesday, October 23rd, 8:45 to 10:30 a.m., Steiner Hall of Nativity Catholic Church in St. Paul. Daily Mass will be offered in the church at 8:15 with a presentation to follow by Father Stephen Hoffman, pastor of St. Peter's Catholic Church in Mendota. He'll speak on the power of faith and love. Refreshments will be served, and the church and Steiner Hall are both wheelchair accessible. To find out more, visit parish.nativity-mn.org or email info@nativity-mn.org.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. The Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop on Saturday, October 27th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To register for the workshop, visit the events page on rediscover-faith.org.
And what's coming up next
week? Yeah, coming up, well, you mentioned the White Mass. Next weekend, we're going to be celebrating St. Luke's Feast Day, patron of healthcare workers. We talk with Catholic Healthcare with Curatio Mission Director Diane Johnson. Also, Dr. Deborah Savage will be with us, who's a professor at the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity, on the upcoming Archdiocesan celebration of the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae. And finally, this is a new edition. Don't miss our conversation with Jeremy Stanbury as he shares the latest plot twist for Open Window Theater. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.